Local football is upon us, and it's time for another episode of Beyond the Boundary, live from the studios of K-Rock 955. Tom King in the host chair. Hello, co-pilot Jason Doherty.
Hello, Captain. How are you?
Excited now. We're middle of March. So
it's
which
come
means
quickly, hasn't it?
We were meandering through February, and here we are now, making our way towards the end of March and Easter.
That extra day in February just meandered.
That's
made it a long month.
3 out of every 4 years, you don't have to calculate the day and
That's right.
In March.
That's right, exactly.
Just go, oh, what is it in February, and just add 4 weeks.
That's right.
What's happening? You're flicking through your phone.
Oh, look.
Have you got some information?
No, I haven't really, no. I was trying to ring one person who we all know as the person from Werribee that we all know.
Richard.
Yes.
How is Richard from Werribee?
Richard from Werribee is good. But he was out and about talking, which is surprising because he never talks. And he said, ring me back later, which doesn't help this podcast. So, no, I haven't really got much information at all, Tom. It's very bad by me.
Before we get into news, Jace, though, we are, just to let you know who we're talking to, Dev Smith's going to join us
on
the golf course, I believe.
Surprise, surprise.
Yes, so as he works his way towards being a pro, hits him all right, but he still plays footy okay too. Well, we hope, because he'll be back on the brink of a comeback. James Bruce is going to join us a little bit later.
Nice.
Fresh off the bike, riding around Tassie for QMND. Of course, he is the nephew of the great Neil Danaher. Mm-hmm. And Butch Shaw is going to join us, obviously. It's been a tough off-season for the Winchelsea Footy Club. They head to Yack and Dander in memory of Ed Smith this week for their practice match. But you were talking about Richard from Werribee.
Yes.
He wanted to do some digging about somebody who was in the GFNL coaching ranks, about what he was up to in season 2024.
Right.
So I did some sniffing around. He wanted to know what Daniel Fraser was up to.
Oh, yes.
Daniel Fraser has been spotted.
He has. Well and truly spotted. Yes.
VFL.
Geelong VFL.
So he's taken a coaching role there. A couple of other little snippets. Heath Jamieson. One of the more interesting cricket injuries.
What did he do?
A bicep.
Was he doing bicep curls?
And went to play a big shot and
really?
Off came the bicep from the bone.
Really?
Yeah.
It just sounds like debilitating.
Surgery
really?
For him.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Is that the career finished?
I hope not. He's taught himself how to bowl little tweakers. Late in his career, because I believe he was a keeper of note back in Tassie.
Really? Bicep, that's no good.
So that hurts. It's Doug Bond's wedding this weekend.
It is, on Friday afternoon. Yes, cast of thousands, I hear.
And I believe on one of the more salubrious properties
I believe
in Geelong.
So. Has done himself well and married a blood, I hear.
Right.
Yes, which is what you do. And by all reports, Dad's picking the tab up, I hear.
Right. So the boy from Denny's done good.
He's done good. Yep. He's done very well.
So I think there's a few St Mary's boys not playing in their practice match this
sure
weekend. I think they're playing Aberfeldy on Sunday on Anthony Costa,
right,
where you would bowl first right now, because that has grassed back over very, very quickly.
Yeah, I would suspect so.
Commiserations to the Pussycats too in Premier Cricket.
I had a look at them on Saturday at the Albert, actually. Yes, which was, mate, if you're talking
H Butterworth in good form.
Hitting them okay.
Yeah.
Jay Larkin hitting them okay as well. But
did they bat too long?
Look, it wouldn't have mattered.
No.
The outfit was absolutely lightning.
Why was it at the Albert and not at Toorak Park?
Good question. I haven't got the answer to that because there's a grand final at Toorak Park this week. So interesting that they've played at the Albert.
Also good news out of Werribee.
Yes.
Centurions are getting a very significant upgrade that's well on its way to completion. Now, you would have read the story at krock.com.au in our football section that they will miss the first month at home. They only had one game scheduled at home anyway, which was round two. They've done a bit of a flip with West, and we'll play at West now, but they'll wait till round five, and majority of that work will be done by then. Chris Kapolke, their pres, just said they wanted it at a really good standard for everybody, but it means they'll have a heavily back-ended fixture, which won't be too bad. For Reece Prismal's boys, Nick Knott has been spotted in a Geelong amateur jumper.
Yes, well, that was out and about for a few weeks ago, so yes, playing in the ruck, and not a bad ruck, rover combination at Amos.
So the starting four in the middle out at Aniki in a practice match was Knott, Gribble, Sutterby and Ferguson.
Yeah, not bad.
That's as good as you'll get in the GFNL.
Absolutely.
If not better than anything.
And is Aniki just copping a hammering at the moment with games out there?
Well, with no cricket out there.
Yeah.
The most popular function out there is the Friday night tees that Tooth Moor does.
Yeah, well, that's right.
They are massive out there. So if you're out in that neck of the woods and you like a good feed, Tooth does put on a fairly good spread on a Friday night. Yep. Just had a good Anglesey recruit lob. Anton Woods won a Morrish medal, played a bit of VFL footy with Williamstown and the Northern Blantes.
Wow.
Premiership captain at Eltham has just landed on the doorstep of Jordan Kerris.
How did he land there?
Jordan's sister is friends with Anton's wife.
Here we go. There's always a connection somewhere. I like that. Handy pickup.
We will touch with Dev Smith on the retirement of Matty Spence, who's decided
that's unfortunate.
To pull the pin.
Yeah.
Mitch Chafer's got a VFL spot at Werribee.
He has. I saw that, which is very good for him. And, it's good.
Played last week against the Cats.
Yes.
Cats trialled a lot last week. The VFL squad should be out in the next 48 hours.
There was only one AFL-listed player, wasn't there?
Brandon Parfitt.
Parfitt was it, wasn't it?
Because he didn't play the week before. We've got a very quick chat in with Harry Corrigan, VFL coach, while I was driving through the car park at GMHBA Stadium, and he said a lot of the boys that played last week, that was their final
hit out.
So you didn't see Dan Caperon and guys like that.
Blokes who were going to be on the list.
They like St. Mary's have recruited Nick Minchin.
Yeah, I can see why.
I don't know whether they'll see much of him.
Well, they like the name Nick, not Nick Minchin. Yeah. He's a big boy, isn't he?
Nick Connors,
that's right. The old chip, that's right. He looked good when we watched him a couple of weeks ago.
So he'll be very handy in a navy blue and green jumper, but he might be wearing the hoops at the Cats.
How many does he need to play to qualify?
Although the Cats' injury list at the moment, come round one of the GFNL season, look at it all paired back a little bit. Comey Anand apparently is injured at the moment.
Oh, right.
Well, that's good news for North Shore, because I think Darcy Bennett and Sam Conway are probably the two men right now for the ruck position at Werribee, which means Kobe would have to roll back,
through North Shore.
Against Newtown on April 6th.
Yes. Not far away.
Live on carrickfootball.live.
Yeah.
I just want to say congratulations to a friend of the podcast. Connor Wormsley.
Conrad
Wormsley, as we like to call him in other circles, who became a dad last week. So congratulations to Conrad. He and his partner Meg had a daughter named Frankie.
Oh, that's good, isn't it?
So congratulations to those guys.
He's joined the land of never having any more money. So that's great. Well done, Connor. Great work. Enjoy. There's
lots of practice matches this week. All clubs bar three are in action.
Really?
This weekend. Wow. Anarchy SMWV Rovers. Anglesey are playing St. Bernard's. Bannockburn are playing Bell Post Hill. Bowen Heads have got Point Cook at Bowen Heads. Bell Park have got Torquay actually on Thursday night. Belmont Lions are going to Learmonth on Saturday. Colac have got North Warrnambool at the Central. Corio are playing Irrawarra Beak at All-in-One Oval. Actually, talking about Corio, Darren Bennett.
Yes.
Not well.
Yeah, that's not good.
Home good. And things tracking okay.
And Joel holding the fort.
Yes.
Well done. Good.
Drysdale at East Point in Ballarat. East Geelong have the weekend off. Ammos are playing Williamstown CYMS at Bowen Heads on Sunday. Blue West are at Balan. Red West and Mottawarri out at Windsor Park.
Right.
Grovedale have got Old Paradians but aren't being coached by their coach because their coach can't coach when he's in Fiji.
Come on, Sporter, you'll be listening to this. Get back here. Goodness sake.
Inverley are playing Newtown's Reserves. Lara are playing Werribee Districts at Bizanella. Actually, that's on March 23. Leopold's off to the Hangar, Essendon's training facility, to play Keilor. Right. Is that Mick McGuan's mob?
It is.
So Buddha and...
Buddha and Mick.
Renewing acquaintances.
Wordy and edgeways, those two.
Newcombe and playing Hastings at Deakin Uni. Newtown's seniors are playing Maroopna from the Goulburn Valley League. So John Lamont, who coached Werribee.
Right.
Coaches Maroopna.
Where are they playing?
They're at Elderslie on Saturday. Yeah, right. North Shore have got Clunes at Windsor Park. Ocean Grove, I believe, are playing Cobden. I'm not sure of the venue on that. I don't know whether Ray Menzies Oval is being used for Ballarine Finals. Port Arlington play Macedon. Queenscliff Battle of the Rip against Toronto at Oakdean. South Barwon play Old Brighton. At Anarchy.
Brighton.
St. Joey's are playing Werribee Districts. St. Mary's play Aberfeldy. Torquay have got Bell Park, as I touched on Thursday night, North Torquay. Werribee Centrals are at Galvin Park against Deltona. And Winchelsea, which we'll touch on with Butchore shortly, are at Yakandanda. So that is...
That's a good rundown.
That's a good slate. We'll publish those at Carrick Football on the website over the next 48 hours. Well, it's good to have on Beyond the Boundary for the first time a man that we were robbed of seeing running around in the blue and white hoops for Lara last year. It was about 12 months ago, almost to the day, that we got the horrible news that out at Anarchy, in about a quarter of a practice match, Dev Smith had suffered a ruptured Achilles, and it forced him on the sidelines last year and into the co-coaching part of the coaching, playing coach role alongside Shane Stone. He's been good enough to join us on the Beyond the Boundary. Dev, thanks for joining us. Where do we find you? Heading towards a golf course?
G'day, lads. Yeah, good to be on. Yeah, I'm actually heading out to have a quick hit at Ainsbury. I play an event in about 2 weeks, so come out and have a look and take some notes of what to do and what not to do.
What are we playing off at the moment?
Plus 1.8.
Oh, gee, must be horrible.
It's funny. I think I was like plus two almost when I was playing footy, when I didn't think about it as much. But now that I'm actually doing my PGA Associate events and studies, I'm taking it a lot more serious, and I'm probably not getting the results as I was when I was playing footy and not thinking about it as much.
What would you shoot if you went around Royal and Ancient Elko Park these days?
Oh, mate, that place is a nightmare. We have our cricket day there, our footy day there, and I just can never, ever figure that place out. So I don't know. It's very hard because those greens are like the car park. Like, you cannot do anything. And they we often laugh because usually in Ambrose it's a four-ball best ball. You often have your best putter go last, and usually I'm last or second last. And everyone's putt does something different. So there's not very consistent, the greens there, if that makes any sense.
Oh, Dev, we'll get to footy shortly. Where did the golf thing come from? Obviously, with playing AFL football, you had a little bit of time, so you were able to play a bit of golf. And then where is this leading you to? Where are you off to with this scenario now?
Well, to be honest, I completed my diploma of golf management and I was playing footy. So that's about 4 years of study worth and probably about 6 or 7 at AFL because you can't do it full time.
Yep.
So my end goal has always been to teach golf, and obviously play when I can, and I'm not putting any ceiling on that, but I'm not like intending on going on tour or anything, because people think, oh, you're a scratch golfer, you're like, you know, you can go make a living out of it.
Yeah.
That's not really the case. There's a lot of levels to the game, and long story short, I'm probably progressing a lot better than I thought I would be. So this year I started my playing events on Mondays, PGA Associate events. I think I come like 70th, 90th, 80th, 50th, 70th. And then I somehow, out of nowhere, had a win. I won at my home course and beat some pretty good golfers. And since then, I haven't really looked back. I've been playing very consistently and coming top 10s in these events, winning some money and, yeah, going a lot better than I thought I would be. So the end goal is to be a professional by the end of the year, have the diploma on the wall and start teaching, which I've already started doing bits and pieces.
You've got a couple of willing participants here, Dev, that need a little bit of air.
I was going to say, there's two things. I think I have Greg Norman's number somewhere, so we can ring Live Golf, and I'm more than happy to be your caddy, Dev. I can walk a golf course with you. That'll be fine.
There's a long list.
Oh, I bet you there is.
That want it. I think there's people almost fighting for it.
So I was talking to McGlinchey on the weekend, and he was one who was putting his hand up because he said that he started as a better golfer than you, and then he decided that you decided you were going to get better than him, so he's well and truly behind now.
Yeah, I had Dom on the track man last week, and I've never seen someone hit it as a heel so consistently. Like, hard to describe what he was doing, but he was doing it every time.
Let's talk some footy, Dev. How's the Achilles coming along, and will we see you playing early in the GFNL season?
Yeah, you were spot on before. I think it was a year ago. It's been a year and a week almost. So, it's progressing really well. If anyone that's done an Achilles, don't recommend it. Obviously, I've had a knee reco, shoulder reco, fingers, hips, you name it. But the Achilles was, to be honest, it's pretty hard time early on because you can't do anything. I remember at the 12-week mark going to see the surgeon. I was all excited because finally I'm getting out of the boot and the plaster and thinking, you know, I can do all these exercises and start progressing. But you know, it was wiggle your big toe, and I sat there, my jaw nearly hit the ground. They're like, yeah, you can't still do much for another 4 weeks or whatever it was. So, and you lose all your calf muscle and all that, and even now, it probably wasn't until about the 8 month mark that I could sort of see the light at the end of the tunnel, and probably the last 6 weeks I've ticked off all the boxes and joined in all of training and going really well. But yeah, it's a pretty shit injury, to be honest. That's the best way to put it, and hopefully it's all behind me now, and I'm planning on playing in the opening rounds. I think we've got North Shore, so the plan is to play that match, and yeah, it's obviously a big game for the footy club and a big game for myself.
We've spoken to Rock on and off for the last 2 or 3 years, Dev, and I think the discussion has always been the difference between your best and your worst. There's a fair amount of difference, and you obviously want to try and get that back to, you know, the worst being a little bit better. What have you done? What's been the process, especially in the pre-season, about trying to be a bit more consistent on the field with the group?
Well, the good part about, like, the injury last year, I actually got to coach and sit back a bit. Mm. Like, a lot of things when you're playing football, you don't get to see the emotions of people and how people are acting or training, or you pick up on a lot more when you're sitting back a bit. So I learnt so much last year of what our group sort of needs and doesn't need. And then just, you know, like, every group's the same. If you have 6 to 8 of your best players out most weeks, most teams are going to really struggle.
Yeah.
And like where everyone's hoping, praying, crossing their feet, legs, everything, that we have a bit of luck on that front, and just have our best team on the park as much as possible, and that's always going to help. And just another year of coaching our languages and whatnot. So pretty boring standard answer, but just, you know, getting the group to play together. And a few of our VFL boys this week, I don't think, got the nod down there. So selfishly, I'm high-fiving myself in the car because, you know, we're going to see them all the time, and they've gone and done a full pre-season at VFL, so they're going to be fit, hungry,
yep,
as strong as they've ever been. So they should really dominate the GFL, which is exciting to me.
So I think Connor Linehan-Cunningham, Aaron Stone, Will McKenzie were down at Geelong, is that right?
Yep, correct.
Yep, so they've all missed out, unfortunately.
The only one we haven't heard on is Will, because he was meant to catch up with him, but he got stuck on a plane in Perth, so he hasn't found out yet. So I'm not sure with him, but the other two, yeah.
Yep.
You got, weren't too far off.
Yep. You got kind of Thar still at Werribee?
Yeah, Thar, he's at Werribee, and he'll play there. So Jimmy Allen sort of already told me that. And we kind of know that I rate Sari pretty highly, and if he can have a good run with the injury and whatnot, who knows? He's a seriously good player.
Yep. I spoke to Shane Stone, Darcy Bennett, great to see him back playing VFL footy. Did you get anywhere with getting him aligned to Lara, or is that not going to happen?
It was a strange one. Last year when the boys sort of said, go catch up with him, I tried to talk to him and couldn't get a hold of him much or anything, and then this year, I reached out to him, he got back, I went and had a beer with him, and he wasn't really sure what he was doing and whatnot. And then out of nowhere, we saw that he was at VFL, so because he wanted to take a slide, he'd had a year off and whatnot. So obviously something turned around there, and he wanted to have a crack at it. And from all reports, he's you know, right in contention for number one ruck spot there at Werribee. So we definitely tried, and all his mates are at here at Lara, so... And we're making no illusions. Our group of older guys have only got 1 or 2 years left, so I was really hoping we could get him in, but we ended up getting Ryan Bell from South Bowen across, and some of his tap work's been really good.
You're talking about 1 or 2 years left. Unfortunately, a person who hasn't had 1 or 2 years left now is Matt Spence. Unfortunately, had to retire with a back injury. And I suppose not just on the ground, but the spiritual stuff that he gives around the club as well. You're going to have to replace that with some others as well.
Yeah, and I had a good chat to Dan Jordan yesterday. He's saying at Darley they had 4 or 5 finish up, and they've got some young guys coming in. So we've had a look at some other guys that hadn't played down back, and taking nothing away from Matt, obviously he's played so much footy and steady head and whatnot, but he's just, you know, he's starting a young family, and I could tell, like, he'd really want to do it, but he's just, with his work and commitment, he couldn't do it. And, you know, the timing's right, I think, for him. He has some horrific injuries that people probably don't know about or see that still, to this day, give him a little bit of grief. So you know, I'm just grateful that we had Matter last year, and I know what sort of clubman he is. He'll be around when he's possible. So he'll help with some coaching and stuff if he can. But yeah, it's, you know, I think it's the timing was right for Matter.
Yeah, and he'll join us in the pre-game before the Spirit of Anzac game, Lara versus Grovedale, which we're looking forward to broadcasting the Cats for the first time in 2024. Dev, really appreciate your time. Before you go, what is your go-to club? What is the one that you hit better than any other?
Probably the short stick, the putter. I like it. Yeah, I reckon it's not always. Yeah, it's probably my most reliable.
All right.
People think my short game's quite impressive, but I just think it's pretty standard.
Hit for show, putt for dough, Dev. That's what they say.
That is it.
Is it a little Scotty Cameron that you just wheeled?
No, I'm a Mizuno man through and through. So
there's the sponsor. Well yeah. Done. Good work. There's the sponsor.
Look, if there's any demo clubs that you want to get rid of or anything like that, level 183 Mirrible Street, just ask for Tom King, Dev.
Yeah, I think for you two, the pricing might have to go up, I think.
Oh, that'd be right.
For an hour in the simulator.
Dev, great to talk. Great to know that you'll be back round one, all going to plan with that Achilles. We look forward to seeing you pull on the hoops for the first time in the best part of 15 years. I think everybody's going to enjoy that, and we look forward to seeing you in action, but look forward to following your progress with the golf clubs in hand as well. Appreciate you taking some time to join us on Beyond the Boundary.
No worries, lads. Thanks for that. Good bit of fun.
Well done, Dev.
Well, from Devin Smith, we move GDFNL now. Time to speak with a man who's had to guide his club through some fairly rough waters over the pre-season. A tough time with the passing of Ed Smith on the eve of Christmas. Tough for the Blues, tough for the people of Yak and Dander, and Winch and Yak will come together this weekend with the Blues heading up the Hume Freeway and just a little veer off towards Yak and Dander for a practice match where they will get together and mark Ed's life. We really do appreciate Christian Butchshaw joining us. Does anybody call you Christian Butch by any chance?
It's a very small group, Kingy. Yep. Yeah, but I don't hear it very often, mate, to be honest.
Is it just the relatives calling you Christian?
Yeah, pretty much. It's work and pretty much under the one roof at home. So that's about it.
All right. Where did Butch come from?
Long, long time ago. I think I was only, give or take, 4 or 5 months. It was a dad thing, I think, as most nicknames, you know, normally are sourced from. He says when people used to pick me up, I didn't like it. Used to slap me around the face a little bit, let me go. So I don't know how that aligned with the word Butch, but apparently that's his story and that's the only one he's ever told me. So I'm going to have to stick with it.
All right. Because a Christian and a Butch are just so... They're polar opposites, aren't they?
Well, maybe that's the origin. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. But it stuck for a very long time. Yeah.
Can you take us back to before Christmas on a more serious note, Butch, when you found out about Ed and your reaction, and I suppose then the what then takes place around a football club when you lose one of your own?
Yeah, it's... I remember the phone call like it was yesterday. And it's not, I don't think it's, obviously, it's not something that you rehearse and you face every day. So you sort of do, I guess, you know, what you think is best and what you'd like, you know, others to do for you. So I just automatically, you know, wanted to make sure that what I was hearing just simply wasn't a joke, you know, a sick joke. I needed to find that out pretty quickly, and it wasn't long before you sort of realised it was, really tragic news. And you start making some phone calls to, you know, some close people just to let them know. And then you ring as many people as you can individually and have a conversation face-to-face, because it's not the sort of news you just want to put in a, you know, in a chat forum or, you know, people find out, you know, through whispers or something. So I had to call as many people as I could, but until, you know, the word travels fast on the Bush Telegraph. So it wasn't a good situation at all. And I hope to be honest, never live it again.
Every suicide affects 135 people directly, which to me is a footy club in a town, you know, but it's double because it's Winch and it's Yak and Dander and it's many others. What was the club's response, and how did you work that through with the players and the group and, you know, and the supporters and the families in Winch at that time of the year as well?
that time of the year. So, you know, we're not training. We're not together as a group. We're sort of all over the place, as you know, most sporting clubs are at that time of year. So you just wrap your hands around the people that are close. And I, you know, opened up the house, and we had a couple of beers together. And that wasn't just for footy. That was, you know, the club in its entirety. The football players, the netball was a committee, you know, everyone. It was just an open invitation. Let's just get together and, you know, sit around and you know, whether you want to talk about it or not, it's completely up to, you know, the individual. But it was just important enough to, I guess, show the solidarity and, you know, wrap your arms around people and share a beer or a drink. And we still try and do that, you know, every now and then. So I don't think there is a wrong or right way. You just do what you think is best and, you rely on some guidance of others too.
So the game on Saturday, you'll take on Yak and Dander, and I believe some of the boys are going to hang around. Yak have got their season launch and get to know Ed's other club.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, so we obviously travelled up there for Ed's service, just after... after Christmas there, really early in sort of January. And it wasn't, you know, it was a pretty, quick topic to come to when Ed was associated with, you know, two footy clubs, albeit, you know, 400 kilometres apart. Mm. It was a no-brainer for us. And I think once that idea was raised that we should organise a game, it was just a matter of when, I guess. You know, we'd move heaven and earth to try and, I guess, symbolise, you know, a game between us. I guess you could call it our new brother club, if, you know, you want to put a term on it. So it was just a matter of putting a date on it. It's been a long time coming, so looking forward to it.
So let's get onto the ground, onto the field. What's the expectations for the Blues in 2024? Where do you see yourself in terms of both inside the club but across the league?
I think everyone's premiers in February, aren't they?
Yeah, that's right.
Everyone's flying, everyone's up and about. We've lost some and we've gained some. We've lost Lockie Kendall. So Lockie was our joint best and fairest winner from last season. He's gone back home just south of Wagga to a place called Mango Pla. I'd never heard of that until Lockie put it on the map for me.
Mango Pla, Cookadinia, East Lakes goodness. United, yeah, I believe, is what the club's name is.
That's it, the Goannas. Yep. Lockie's just gone back home. And, you know, all the best to him. We've also lost Indy Parish. So he's gone across to the district league in Colac. I think he's taken on an assistant coaching role there. So that's something that Indy's really passionate about. And you could see when he was with us, he was sort of a natural teacher, he wanted to be a coach. So he's following his dreams there. So again, you know, all the best to him. But we've gained a few as well. So where we sit in the pecking order, we'd like to think that we're going to be a better side. Not to mention we've probably got five or six guys returning from long-term injuries, which are, you know, really special players for us. So they're going to make a difference. And we're a young side, so those guys are now, you know, 19, 20 games better players. So we think we're going to improve. I just hope it's a lot, to be honest. We're hoping to play finals, but we don't play with a round ball, so it can be unpredictable. We just hope it bounces, you know, more in our favour than not.
You lose a parish, but will you gain a parish? Where does it sit with Cassidy and potentially luring him home?
That scenario is still to play out a little bit. We're hopeful that, you know, we can see Cass in a navy jumper. We hope that common sense prevails. He's coming back home, so I think it's an exceptional situation. So hopefully, we can see Cass in a navy blue jumper, but there's still a little bit to play out in that scenario.
No doubt you've put yourselves in Grovedale's shoes as well and looked at how they, you know, see him as a valuable member of their midfield.
Absolutely. I'm not going to sit here and pretend, you know, I empathy, I like to think, is a good characteristic. So, I can understand from their point of view. Yeah, absolutely. Cass is a wonderful player. Any club that's going to lose a really good player and I guess within a geographical location to still make it feasible, absolutely, you dig your heels in and try and convince him to stay. But I think anyone that has spoken to Cass and anyone that knows, you know, the ins and outs of the scenario, he wants to come back to his junior club, his home club, where his mum and dad are. So, look, we'll just do what we can and what, you know, we think is what Cass wants. And hopefully, you know, we can come to a pretty good, win-win situation at the end.
Yeah. On a personal note, how many premiership reunions have you got this year? You'll have a 25-year one for the 99 North Shore.
There might be one or two. Yep. I'll wait for the invite in the mail.
Did you play in a flag somewhere in 04? Were you up north? Was that when you were up north?
No, that was 2000.
Yep.
Even though we're saying the year 2000, it's 24 years ago. It just feels so long ago.
How old are you? Gee whiz.
No, I'm not even 30 yet, Kingy.
You idiot.
You could still get... How old were you when you retired? You were still playing at Joey's in about... Oh, I'm going to say... So you debuted as a 16-year-old in 91 for Bannockburn, so born in 75. Were you still playing in about 12 or 13?
What year did I retire? That's a really confusing question.
Okay, when did you last properly... Did you play under Heath Jamieson, or was Russell Robertson the last coach you played under?
No, yeah, Robbo was the last one at Joey's. So I still remember that game. It was out in Lara. I think we needed the stars to align for us to make finals, so we just missed out. But our last game was probably the best one out at Lara, so I got chaired off on that game, which was nice. I think Torren Baker's last game as well, from memory. But after that, there was a few cameos, but yeah, not... There wasn't a full pre-season involved, I can tell you that.
It was a wonderful playing career, and you're carving a nice little niche for yourself as a coach now, Butch. Obviously, from all of us here at Beyond the Boundary and K-Rock, our obviously condolences and sympathies to Winch and Yak and the Smith family, and we hope Saturday's a nice little marker for the family, but also for the two clubs to remember Ed as you head up the highway. Travel safe, and look forward to seeing you throughout season 2024.
Yeah, much appreciated, Kingy. And to you too, Jace. Appreciate the support.
And of course, 13 11 14, or beyondblue.org.au. If you or anyone you know is experiencing personal problems, please reach out to Lifeline or Beyond Blue. Well, talking about causes of a different kind, Fight MND has very much been in the spotlight over the past decade as the beast has been fought by a great of Australian rules football in Neil Danaher. And we've been lucky enough in our region to play a little bit of a role in supporting that through his nephew, James Bruce, a footballer of note in his own right. He's been starring for Drysdale for the past few years, and he's been good enough to join us on Beyond the Boundary. James, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Kingy, and thanks, Jason. Great to be on Beyond the Boundary, and I wouldn't probably say starring for Drysdale, Tom, but yeah, just playing my role, mate.
Hey, we have to talk you up. Like, you've been good enough to take some time out of your day to have a chat to us, so we appreciate that. The first question I've got to ask you is, after you took on a 634-kilometre route along the Tasmanian east coast for the pedal cure for MND, how are we feeling? Were we a little bit saddle sore after that?
Yeah. Yeah, no, the bum copped an absolute hiding, Kingy and Jason. I've only just regained feeling in my nether regions since the ride, and no amount of padding or equipment could stop that, unfortunately. It was a big test that we all got through unscathed, which is great.
You would have seen some great sights.
Oh, yeah.
Unbelievable. Yeah, every corner you turn, there's another hill and a beautiful view. Tasmania is just, it's cut from a different crop, isn't it, since the mainland, and I think this is our fourth instalment of the pedal cure for MND. And the connection is my father, Paul, who's a great man. He sort of started the pedal cure way back in 2018, pre-COVID. And it's just gone from strength to strength, bigger and bigger. And this was our biggest turnout yet, 130 riders taking on the east coast of Tassie. Jeez, it was a lot of fun. It was fantastic.
How long does it take to do that type of ride, James?
7 days.
So it's about...
Six it was days. All up. It's all a blur, unfortunately. But yeah, 6 days, probably riding around 5 to 6 hours a day.
Yeah,
But we're well looked after, Tom. It's not all bad. We've got, I think, what's most impressive, I think, is the support crew that comes with us. in their droves. So support vehicles, Anzac biscuits by the thousands, the fuelers, homemade, of course. And it's not just the riders that are doing it. It's all our partners and family that come along. It's absolutely amazing. And we did a great job again this year, raising a heap of money for motor neuron disease, which is fantastic.
I'm just looking at the website now, $660,000 for MND. That is an amazing effort. That's fantastic. That's that is amazing. Oh, so well done. Well done
on
that.
It is crazy, isn't it? Yeah. It's that makes it all worth it, mate. And you mentioned Neil before and his great daughter, Beck, my cousin also. They both sent their messages of support to us during the ride. Even though they couldn't be there physically, they were with us along virtually as we took on those hills. And 650,000, that's a personal best for the pedal cure. It's just amazing. All that will go straight to research for hopefully a cure in the not-too-distant future.
So that's $5,000 per cyclist raised.
Oh, yeah.
Doing some quick maths.
Yeah. It was amazing. And just personally, I'd like to thank... the Drysdale Football Club community, where I work and where I play, they were just so supportive and got right behind me. All the friends and family in Geelong and out of Geelong as well, who got behind the cause, just so generous. And obviously during times that aren't, that are a little bit tough and tight financially, the generosity is just amazing. So, mate, we can't thank everyone enough for getting behind. All the sponsors as well for the ride. Elders, Bogues Brewery, they were a great help. They set up a night for us down in Tassie where I think we drank them dry that night down there in Launceston. Rex Regional Airways. Rex Regional were great. They got us all down there.
Cheap
and swine, which is fantastic. Super Capital. Just some great sponsors behind us, which is great. So, no, we had a ball, mate. It was fantastic.
One of the highlights of the last couple of years on the local sporting calendar has been our own big freeze that's been held down at Mortimer Oval at Drysdale, but a different venue this year, and it's going to tie in nicely because it'll work out well for our GFNL broadcast, but we're off to Drew Oval for St Joseph's and St Mary's. So why the change, and how did those two clubs come to be involved?
Oh, it's really exciting to have... the GFL jump on board with the big freeze, and look, it's a big day, and Drysdale's held it the last 2 years, which has been fantastic. Again, a big thanks to the Drysy family for getting behind it, and look, I think it was time probably to dip into a different population pool and share the love around. It's a great thing, and look, we like to get local celebrities down the slide into the cold ice every year. And what that'll mean, bringing it to St. Joey's, and of course, St. Mary's, another powerhouse for the GFL, it'll mean there'll be some brand new sliders going down into the water, into the ice again. And how good is that you guys will be on the mic commentating throughout the day? That'll be fantastic, mate.
I think Tom's going down this year.
No.
I think he's going down. You are. You're going down. We've just made an executive decision in the studio. There's two of us, and I've made the decision.
We would be absolutely honoured if you could go down.
He's going down it. Don't you worry about that. Don't you worry.
No, I've been thrown under a bus here.
Jason's pretty confident with that. Woo-hoo!
Great work. We'll discuss this more a little bit later, James. Jason, it was a pleasure working with you.
I can tell you this, James.
Thank you for your early commitment, Thomas. That's great.
James,
I'll get that down in writing by the end of this podcast. Sure.
James, I can tell you this. If he goes down, I will individually help raise $5,000 for MND.
Based
off this, easily.
Surely we can do that, mate.
Easily.
And this is the thing about the big freeze. It's great for peer pressure in that regard.
Yes.
People to get up to the top of the slot.
Yeah, but
Tom, I reckon you'd be absolutely. I think if Jason can do 5,000, there's absolutely no worries, mate.
Do you want celebrities?
Yes,
to
you're
go
a celebrity
down.
King. Come on.
Do you want everybody?
I can't think of anyone better.
And we'll think of a great costume for him too, James. Don't you worry about that.
Yeah, great. Fantastic. This was a really smart idea,
it's
James.
Great spectacle.
It's like James and I planned this beforehand. Yeah, this is great.
There's been some
My one word of advice, Kingy, is maybe stay away from the wardrobe choice of our ex-club president.
The Mankini.
Who adopted the Mankini. Maybe go for something a little bit warmer than that.
I understand there are still some people who are undergoing therapy after Doc Walder went down in that Mankini.
Yeah. It was a real reveal all slide, that was. Yes, it was.
It wasn't like old mate on horseback that got him found himself in trouble.
I can't wait to see your costume.
Yeah, we'll come up with a perfect one. Don't you worry about that.
This is fantastic. Yeah, great.
Come on, mate. I think who better than the godfather of K-Rock football?
Absolutely.
Yes, James. Now you're selling it.
Flattery will get you nowhere, James.
The question I've got is why do we go down the slide at the start of winter and not at the start of summer? Can we do it in December?
I think it's the question. It's all about facing adversity, Thomas, and through that creating hope and resilience. So I think that's the short answer. And you know, for those people who suffer with MND, it's not a happy feeling. So that's I think the middle of winter, getting into that water, no one can feel like it's a possible scenario to do that. But mate, we'll have you down there. It'll be quick and fast and painless.
And then I've got to go and call footy.
You can come back with us other people and do other things after your start.
That'll be fun. It'll be fun to call footy through chattering teeth.
It's going to be 24. Beautiful day. Global warming. That's right. You'll be right.
All right.
Do you think it'll be a good game, Kingy and Jace? Do you think it'll be a good spectacle?
It's going to be a great game. Yeah. It's going to be a great game.
It always is, isn't it?
You guys have picked the right one. Yeah. So Sunday, June 2nd. Is that right?
Yes, I think so.
That's the one. Sunday, June 2nd. Standalone game, which is what we really love. Just means that, you know, those who have footy commitments and family commitments on the Saturday can come down on a Sunday, big family day. We'll be selling beanies at the venue, which is St. Joseph's this year. So you can buy a beanie on the day. Don't wait until stocks run out, though. Jump online at fightmnd.org to grab your beanie. Mm. They'll come on sale very soon. The special Big Freeze 10 beanie is coming out on sale this year, which is good.
I have got a sneak peek. I was at AFL Captain's Day, James, and I did see that beanie, but the rules were that nobody could actually, other than the Fight MND crew, could actually do any social media or anything like that. So there'll be a reveal of that stuff. But it looks absolutely...
already had a look at it. That's fantastic.
So this is what we mean. He's a star, James. He's a star. That's what it is. He gets around. He knows what he's doing.
I happen to be in the right place at the right time. Let's talk footy. Drysdale this year, the disappointment of grand final 2023 now in the rearview mirror. It's been 6 months, but they get to rub it in your face, Torquay, by unfurling the flag in round one in front of you.
Absolutely. It's a funny thing because I work in Drysdale as an osteo. I also work in Torquay as an osteo in enemy territory as well. So we see quite a few of the Tigers boys coming through our clinic, and you know, there might be just a little bit firmer pressure going through on the lead up to that weekend. The thing is, the Torquay boys are fantastic blokes and deserving winners last year. We're shattered with the result to be in it for three quarters, and then they rolled us in the last. That was really disappointing. But Binger, Ben Carmichael, he's rallied the troops. He's got a great list for 24. Mate, I don't think you can get any bigger than Easter Saturday at McCartney Oval, Torquay. Probably blowing a good 35 kilometres an hour down there to one end. I cannot wait, Kingy. It's going to be great. I just get tingles up and down the back just thinking about it, to be honest. It's going to be great.
Should be a cracker. We've got to ask the question, Isaac Smith. You have a link to Isaac. He's retired. Obviously, wore Hawthorn brown and gold. Will he wear Drysdale brown and gold at any stage? He's denied it, but surely with the link that you can, you know, get him in for at least one appearance.
Oh, absolutely. So the big connection is Isaac and I go way back to primary school back in Tamora. His father and my mother both taught at the same school, so there's a big family connection there. And it's actually been my mother, Colleen, who's Neil's sister. She's been in Isaac's ear trying to get him down to Drysdale for a little bit. Unbeknownst to our coach, Ben Carmichael, at all, that there's been secret recruiting happening. But this is another reach out to Isaac. If he ever has the inkling to pull the boots back on, we'd love to see him in Hawks colours. Absolutely.
Do you reckon you'll get him down?
I can just about guarantee that Luke, once his illustrious career is over at Hawthorn, he'll join him straight away. Absolutely.
At Drysdale.
No, we'll see how we go.
He's like the publicity manager for Drysdale.
Confirm or deny anything, Thomas, that we'd love to have Isaac down there. Wouldn't that be great?
Would you get Isaac down the slide this year at St. Joey's?
Oh, look, Tommy, I'm sure if we can get some people as calibre as you, we can get Isaac down as well. For sure.
Oh,
absolutely.
Dear. Right. Couple more practice matches. You've already had a hit, couple of hit-outs. Yep. I know you had a run against Newcombe, but really steps up. A couple of trips to Ballarat. Will the boys try and catch up with... I know you're not playing Ballarat, but will you try and catch up with Lockie Dalgleish when you head up there?
Oh, definitely. Definitely, mate. Yeah, so he's a big loss for us. He's been playing top-line footy, you know, since he joined the BFL. So we really missed Dal, but... due to, you know, some coaching opportunities and some family situations, he's gone to Ballarat, which is a great opportunity for him. But definitely, mate, we'll be getting in touch with him. He's still a Drysy boy at heart, that's for sure.
All right. Before we let you go, FightMND, where we got to go to pre-order those beanies?
FightMND.org, absolutely. Jump online. There's a big freeze link that you can't miss once you jump on the FightMND website. Can't thank you and Jace enough for getting behind this as well. I can't thank you enough for calling the day on the 2nd of June. And Tom, I cannot thank you enough for putting your hand up.
This is great.
To go down the slide. Yes. So,
Well done, Tom.
This is the thing. You're the big domino, Tom, that we need.
That's it.
And the rest will fall. Okay.
Absolutely. So, wait until this is on K-Rock football. You watch this. This is amazing. Oh, well. This is great.
All right. I will go down the slide.
Yeah!
Good on you, mate.
I will go down the slide.
If I could reach your hand, someone shake it straight away. So, well done, mate.
James, I really appreciate the work you obviously do for your family, especially in this neck of the woods. That Fight MND message is so important. And we know, obviously, your uncle's got a real battle with the beast. And it's obviously done, obviously, the damage that we know it does to this point.
He's going to go down fighting, Tom. And, you know, this is just a little bit that we can do. And I think the thing that Neil does, it's all about fun. It's obviously a really serious cause, but it's all about fun and his connection to footy. It just brings the footy community together, just like you do too, mate. So thanks for all your great work. Can't wait to catch up soon, mate.
Yeah, look, well, actually, Easter Saturday, I reckon I'll be in the crowd, Drysdale Torquay. So,
I've got a wetsuit here for you, but I think you'll need a better costume than that, mate.
Understood. Thanks for your time, Brewster. We really appreciate it. And, great work you're doing, and look forward to talking to you soon. Thanks for joining us on Beyond the Boundary.
Thanks, Kingy. Go the Drysy Hawks.
Yes, I will go down the
first
slide.
Beyond the Boundary stitch-up. How good's that? That's great. Yeah. I'll have to, like, be on air while you're doing it, so I can't go. So it's much better. If you're the doyen of football in Geelong, people are going to love that. Oh, the costume. Wait until I tell Kirsch. We're going to have to think about this costume.
Between you, Kirsch and Birchie.
Yeah, we're going to... Yeah. I've got a couple of ideas.
Right.
Don't worry.
Thank you to everybody who's joined us. Thanks to Deb Smith. Thanks to Butch Shaw.
Best episode yet.
And thank you to James Bruce as well. We've touched on some important topics.
Absolutely.
In Beyond the Boundary. And that's the whole idea of the show. We're not just going to be a preview and review show.
No,
we're looking to dig a little bit deeper with players and coaches and administrators.
And we get to know them too. Like, Brucey.
Yeah.
He's a star.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, good's he.
Thanks for joining us, Jace, as always.
Always a pleasure, Tom.
We will see you all in a fortnight as we bring you a pre-Easter edition heading into round one of the Bellarine League.